We'll continue our study in Psalm 143 today. A reminder of where we were in our last study in this psalm. David had been in the valley. He had been in the valley in verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." So here's the psalmist, persecuted, crushed, dwelling in darkness, as one who has been dead, overwhelmed, and his heart within him is distressed. And we ended that study by reminding you that the answer was, he remembered the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. So when he was in this valley, the psalmist remembered the days of old. He remembered how God had worked in the past in his life. I meditate on all of your works. He meditated. He mused on the works of God's hands. He pondered. He remembered, he meditated, and he mused. When we are in the valley, brothers and sisters, we need a fresh encounter with the Lord. In verse 6 of our text today, the psalmist goes on to say, after remembering, meditating, pondering, in verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land, a dry land, parched land, cracked ground that longs for the refreshing rains. David knew he couldn't produce what he needed. You can't produce what you need. Only God can produce that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your valley has been designed especially to cause you to come to the end of yourself. And when you get there, you will find that your valley has merely brought you to a place of utter dependence upon Almighty God. Utter dependence. That's not a bad place to be. It's not a bad place to be at all. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He shall make straight. He shall make smooth your paths. As you lean not on your own understanding. Brothers and sisters, far too often we are relying on ourselves. We're depending on ourselves. And the scripture tells us just the opposite. Not to depend on yourself, but to depend on Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That light affliction, that's Paul saying the affliction was light in comparison to what God is doing in your life. He wants you to absolutely depend on him for everything. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Because as terrible as the valleys of life can be, they are extremely, I cannot emphasize this enough, they are extremely valuable. It is in the valley that we learn the eternal truths about God that energize and strengthen our faith. It was in the furnace of persecution that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned about the God who controls. God controls the depth, the extent, and the violence of the crisis that we're in. It was there that Daniel learned about the God who overrules in the valley. It was there in the valley that Elijah, the poor widow, the disciples, Mary and Martha, and a countless host of others learned that the valley is a place of pain and heartache. And more than that, they all learned the priceless lesson. The priceless lesson that the valley is where that you will find, as the Song of Solomon says, the lily of the valleys. Brothers and sisters, in the valley is where you find Christ, where you gaze upon the beauty of Christ, where you come to know Christ in a beautiful and intimate way. They learned that the valley is where the trees grow the tallest. It's in the valleys. They learned that the valley is where God's grace is the strongest and his lessons the most powerful. Don't waste your valleys. They learned what many of us have also learned. The valley is not to be wasted. It is to be searched for the treasures that are concealed there. The treasures, brothers and sisters, are in the valleys of life. When we're in the valley, what is the pathway out of the valley? First of all, in our psalm, in verses 1, 6, 8, 9, 11, and 12, it tells us, verse 1, hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications, in your faithfulness answer me. Hear my prayer, give ear to my supplication. Verse 6, I spread out my hands to you, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. He's in prayer. Verses 8 and 9. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. This is a man that is in prayer. Verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter in the valleys of life. 11 and 12, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. He's a man of prayer. Several times in these verses, David refers to his prayers. I'm certain there were times when David wanted to stop praying. We all face those times. We want to stop praying. It seems like God is not listening, like God is not paying attention to us. Our prayers go up, and it's like they hit a ceiling. And it's hard to continue in prayer, but the Lord commands us to continue in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, he tells us to pray without ceasing. In Romans 12, verse 12, the scripture tells us this. If you can, turn to Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient. Notice, patient in tribulation. And what does the Paul tell us? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. We're not to give up. God has promised to answer our prayers. In John 16, verse 23, it says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Brothers and sisters, the way out of the valley is, first of all, to utterly have all your dependence on God. On God. And pray. God, most assuredly, Christ said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. God has told us to continue in prayer. It tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things. Call to me. The answer, brothers and sisters, is to call to the Lord, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. Father, what is it that you would have me to learn in this valley? Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Brothers and sisters, the Lord hears you. The Lord hears you. Our duty is to pray. Pray when God says yes. Pray when God says no, I have a better way. Pray when God says wait, pray. Prayer is more than a religious activity. It is the path out of the valley. That's why prayers by rote are worthless. To just, our Father, one heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be. It's like, slow down. Meditate. Meditate. Dwell in the presence of the Lord. Seek him out. Seek out his many attributes. Do you not know that your Father is loving and kind and gentle? And he's also omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He knows what to do about it. He's omnipresent. He's there. He's present. Pray. And the prayer and the path, as I said, prayer is the path that leads you out of the valley. And what happens as you pray? As you pray, look again, once again, at Psalm 143. As you pray, look at verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Prayer, brothers and sisters, will lead you out of the valley into worshiping the Lord. In the midst of this sad psalm, David sends up a word of praise. He reminds us that God is good. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to know the attributes of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God. When we pray, we dwell, we meditate on God and who he is and what he's done for us and what he is doing for us. Every person who walks through the valley would do well to adopt an attitude of praise, with the praise and in the valleys, with to praise him in the dark places, with to do even as Job did in Job 1:20-22. Then Job arose. He tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. This is when disaster had struck him. Disaster had struck. He tears his robe, he shaves his head, he falls to the ground and he worships, and this is what he says. Naked I came from my father's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. It's very easy, brothers and sisters, when we're in the valley, to charge God with wrong, that somehow he's doing us wrong, when in reality, God is doing us good, because he's using all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And his purpose, it tells you in the next verse in Romans 8, where that's found. His purpose is he's conforming you into the image of Christ. If we cannot praise the Lord when we're in the valley, we have no business praising him when we're on the mountaintop. It's easy to praise God on the mountaintop. It's hard. It's hard when we're in the valleys of life. When your life is falling apart, Family, friends have departed from you. Your health has departed from you. Finances have departed from you. Your joy has departed. All of these different things and a host of others. We have to praise him. Why? Why, Bill? You say that I should praise him? Well, I can tell you one reason why. Look at Luke 10, verse 20. This is what Christ tells the disciples. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Brothers and sisters, never forget that your sins are forgiven you. All of your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. He said that he would finish the good work that he has started in you. Your names are written in heaven. No matter what happens to you in this world, your name is written in heaven. And we continue on. Well, why should I praise him? Because he's worthy. Revelation 4:11 tells us, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And brothers and sisters, those all things mean all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And by your will, they exist and were created. All things exist because of Christ. All things exist and they were created. This is what Christ has said. And another reason to praise him is, well, it is self-serving in a way. Proverbs 17:22 tells us this, that a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart, a medicine that'll make you better. A merry heart come up off of the doom and the gloom of your life and praise him. He's forgiven you your sins. He's worthy to be praised. You have eternal life. You're seated in heavenly places. You who were a sinner condemned has now made you a justified saint. Is this not reason enough to praise him? A merry heart does good, brothers and sisters, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. This psalm is to lift you up, even though you would have a broken spirit, because that dries your bones. Okay, you went through this season of the valleys. Now pray and praise, for he is worthy. And we must realize that we must walk through the valley. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. The path of practice, of walking. And notice who the actor is. God Almighty, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. God, he's the cause. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. For in you do I just. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. Notice. God, cause me to hear. God, cause me to know. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. Verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. Lord, cause me to hear. Lord, cause me to know. Lord, deliver me. Verse 10, teach me to do your will. Cause me to hear. Cause me to know. Cause me to be delivered. Teach me to know. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Brothers and sisters, it is God Almighty, the sovereign God, the omnipotent one, that has the power, and not only the power, but the will and the desire to do it. Why? Verse 11, revive me, O Lord, for your namesake. For God's namesake. He revives you. He teaches you. He leads you. He delivers you. He causes you to know. He causes you to hear. David's desire is to the will of God. This ought to be the goal of every saint. When we fail in walking with the Lord, we bring dishonor to Him and more discouragement to our own hearts. Brothers and sisters, because when we get down and moan and groan and grumble and complain and everything, that's dishonoring to the Lord. Basically, what you're saying is, I don't believe you. I'm a father. If I'm a father with a daughter, if I promised my daughter something and she didn't believe me, that would break my heart. But to believe our Father, for He's good. The best advice that can be given to those in the valley is to continue to walk consistently with Christ and to continue to trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. A few years ago, John Piper was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Out of his battle with this disease, he wrote an article entitled, Don't Waste Your Cancer. In that article, Piper mentions 10 mistakes that people make when they deal with cancer that cause them to miss what God is doing in their lives. I want to share a few of the observations that Piper made in his article. I'm going to change the word cancer to valley, because the truth of the statements he makes are valid whether we are dealing with cancer or whatever valley that we would find ourselves in life. You'll waste the valley if you do not believe it was designed for you by God. It's not enough to say that God merely uses the pain and the horror and the disruptions of life. We must also acknowledge that He is the one that designs them just for us. If He doesn't stop it, then He has a purpose. He has a purpose, brothers and sisters, in that valley for us. We're not to waste our valleys by thinking it is a curse and it's not a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. That valley, that affliction, that pain, that heartache is a gift from Almighty God. Philippians says it's not only been given to you to believe, but also to suffer. It's been given to you. It's not a curse. It's a gift. I know even though when we're in the valleys of life, we definitely think it's a curse and not a gift. No, that God has designed that valley. And that valley is not a curse, it's a gift. It is true what some call a curse that the faithful saint experiences the tender mercies and gracious ministry of the Lord. Once again, the attributes of God dwell on the fact that He's merciful, dwell on the fact that He's gracious. You'll waste your valley if you spend too much time reading about your valley and not enough time reading about Christ. In the midst of our pain, we need to turn to the Word of God and to look into His face for the help that we need. Far too often, we spend our time reading about the valley that we're in and what we can do about it. And we don't spend enough time reading about Christ and who He is and what He has done for us. Do not waste your valley. If you will waste your valley, if you allow it to drive you into solitude instead of allowing it to deepen your relationship with others, you'll waste your valley. You'll waste your valley. It may be that God sent your valley to help someone else. When we cut ourselves off during our valley seasons, we deprive them of the opportunity to minister to us the love of Christ. Far too often, brothers and sisters, when we go through the valleys, we isolate ourselves. Oh, I can handle this. I can handle this. As opposed to asking the saints to pray for you. asking the saints to minister unto you, giving the opportunity to the other brothers and sisters to bless you when you're in your valley. Don't isolate yourself in the valley. Don't think that the valley is a curse. Don't believe that God has not designed this valley for you. You waste the valley if you grieve as those who have no hope. God uses our valleys to teach those around us that hopelessness should not be a part of our lives. Brothers and sisters, we are to exhibit hope. The saint of God must walk with their hope anchored in Christ, even though in the painful valleys of life, those around us must see that we have a hope. We cannot waste our valley as one that has no hope. We have hope. You'll waste your valley if you treat sin as casually as you did before. The valley should be a place of refinement where the saints of God make a definite move away from sin and its influence. Many times the valleys are sent by God to cause you to repent of your apathy, to cause you to repent of your chasing after this world and the things of this world. Many times those valleys are sent into our lives to cause us to despair of ourselves and to dwell on Jesus Christ, to be closer to Christ than we've ever been in our lives. The question is, are you wasting your valley? You'll waste your valley if you fail to use it as a means of witnessing to the glory and the truth of Jesus Christ. We are never, brothers and sisters, anywhere by accident. God sent us where we are, and we are there to bring glory to Him. You're in the place you're in because God Almighty has sent you where you are. And ultimately, you are to bring glory to Him. We're to use our time in the valley to call attention to Him, to get our minds focused on Him and His love and His grace and His glory and all of His other glorious attributes. So are you wasting your valley? Or are you making it count for Jesus Christ and for yourself? Brothers and sisters, we're to know what the psalmist learned in this psalm. As I said, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's one of the things that's so horrendous about the health and wealth. They just want you to deny the valleys of life. They just want you to deny that anything bad or tragic happens to the people of God. Or if it does happen to you somehow, it's your fault or your lack of faith or your something. And the psalmist in Psalm 143 says, my enemy persecuted my soul. He crushed my life to the ground. He made me to dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. So David is not denying it. He's not, quote unquote, bringing a negative confession. He's talking about the reality of life. The health and wealth, the people have you deny the reality of life. Have you living in some kind of a dreamland? That's not the reality of life. The psalmist goes on in verse 5. I remember the days of old. I remember all your works. I meditate on all your works. I ponder the work of your hands. So then he says to himself, basically, here's my way out. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty lamb. Now, do you see the blessing right there of being in the valley? Like I said, you may have been apathetic and lethargic to the things of Christ, kind of just playing around with Him and playing around with the world, and basically you're playing around with yourself. and all of the things that happened to him caused him what? My soul longing for you, like a thirsty land. Like a thirsty land. I live here in Florida, and at the end of October, early November, it doesn't rain for months, and the land becomes dry. The land is dry, and it waits for the water. And it says, the psalmist, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Remember, the psalmist was in the Middle East when he was writing this. They know all about dry land in the Middle East. And brothers and sisters, is that not true? That very often our soul becomes so preoccupied with this world that God sends all of these things into our life and uses the enemy to do it, even as he did with Job. But look at the result of the valley. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Can you say that today? Unfortunately, when everything is going great, that's not as true. Our soul gets caught up in all other things. But it's in the valleys. Our soul longs for him like a thirsty land. And he said, it goes on to say, cause me to hear your loving kindness. Cause me to know the way. Deliver me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord. Lead me in the land of our brightness. Revive me, O Lord. Why? For your name's sake. At the end of your valley, there is glory brought to the Lord. The valleys are used to glorify Almighty God, because the valley cause you to trust in God Almighty, to believe him. That was the problem with the Jewish people in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't believe the Lord. They doubted the Lord. And in the New Testament, it says that the just shall live by faith. Brothers and sisters, we are to live by faith. We are to walk by faith. Our God has not forgotten about us. Our God is working out his purposes in our life. His purposes in our life. So therefore, brothers and sisters, do not waste the valleys. Do not waste the valleys. And my friend, if you're listening today and you're not a believer, your whole life basically is a valley. Your whole life is a valley, and you're pursuing all the things of this world. And yes, it can be a lot of happiness in your life because you have a bunch of stuff. But the scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? And it says that apart from Christ, you will forfeit your soul. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. My friend, if you're listening today, Christ commands you to repent and believe. Repent and believe, and you shall be saved.